All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show. I am Joe Danier, your host. The purpose and premise of the show is we have a forum to talk about business, both small, medium, and all of the trials that most of us face along the way. And so the group of audience, you share your comments and questions, and then we sort of like publicly answer them so that there's a bunch of bashful people out there that may be wondering the same thing that you're going through. And we end up helping a ton of people out because if you didn't know, all of our problems are very, very common. They're just recycled and given different names and at different scales. But it's usually pretty similar from company to company and person to person. So appreciate all of you guys out there listening to the program. 330-729-9977 is the phone number. You can always text me all program long at 333-1570. And today we have a guest on. We're going to talk some business from a musician standpoint and an artist standpoint. So I want to bring you guys in. We got Rama and Leanne in the studio today. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Want to come back in, come up to the mic a little bit? Cool.
Thanks, Joe.
Oh, excellent. Okay, and so here's what I want to bring you guys in on. And from in our company and some of the stuff that we do, we get like artists, musicians, and they're working their asses off and they're making no money whatsoever. And it's hard to like get them in the business frame of mind because that creative mind usually takes dominance over the logic and the money side. So you guys are a good example that you've defied the paradox, right? And so let's share some of your story here and kind of lend in your example to see if we can might help some of those people out.
Yeah. So first, you're absolutely right. You know, artists tend to use one part of their brain where business people use the other part of their brain. And, to be able to cross that is usually pretty rare, but Leanne and I find a way to balance each other out, okay? Music is not only a hard business to be in, but, things have changed so much over the past probably 10 years, I would say, right? Leanne and I, we spend a lot of money. You know, this is a business for us, too. We also both have publishing companies, so that is the business side of it, which usually a lot of artists don't get into. They just use their another publishing company. So you have to be wary of a lot of different moving parts when you're in the music business and you're trying to do it yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many local musicians have come to me. I've had a publishing company since I was 18 years old. When I was playing with the guys in Left End, they got me set up with a publishing company. I couldn't believe how many people didn't have a publishing company.
Who are writing originals.
Who are writing originals, yeah. Right. I mean, if you're playing a cover band stuff, there's no need for it. But if you want to write originals, and that's kind of your goal is to be an original artist, you absolutely can. There's ASCAP, BMI, and Seascape. Those are the three main. Seascape is by invitation only, and it deals mostly with film and sync licensing. So you kind of take that out until you're at a place where hopefully you would get an invite. BMI and ASCAP are the two main. You can only belong to one of them. You cannot belong
to
both of them. I know that ASCAP is completely free to not only sign up as a songwriter, but as a publisher. BMI, you can sign up as a songwriter and have your songs listed through BMI, but it costs $150 for a lifetime
subscription
or membership to BMI. So those are the two, and people will call me and they're my friends, and I'm like, what do you mean you don't have a publishing company? I'm like, come over, you know, take them down to the studio. And
it's not expensive to register a publishing company either.
No, it is completely free to register yourself as a songwriter with both BMI and ASCAP.
Right.
ASCAP is free, I think, to register your publishing company. BMI is $150.
Right.
BMI just happens to handle more film and television, and I think they just have a broader spectrum. But they're both very, very good, you know. But you cannot belong to both. You can leave one and join another.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. So as an artist, when you come out and you've got a pretty good product, and you've got some talent, and you're making your way onto the scene, there's a lot of opportunities, right? And most of them are branding, like the exposure type of things, freebies that you have to give away to get people to, you know your name. So how does an early artist avoid devaluing their total product by just being a free purveyor?
So that's a great question, because the music industry, like I said, has changed. So back in the day, you know, you would record a demo, right? And then you would take that demo and basically you would try to get signed to a record label. They would forward you money to completely re-record your album with producers and engineers that they approved. And then you would also use that money then to go out on tour. You know, what most artists didn't know back then was you owe all that money
you
back.
Pay all that back. That's not so free.
So we've had friends who have gotten major record label deals, you know, here's your $350,000, not knowing, oh, I owe that $350,000 back, right?
Ouch. That's a mortgage right there.
Oh, it comes out of your album sales and all the push that they do for your touring, your tour bus expenses, your road crew expenses,
your
all
hotels.
Of that comes out of your bottom line before you get paid.
Wow.
Most beginning artists that are million album sellers, let's say, right, are breaking even. So these are major artists that their first album has hit a million sales, and basically the money that they're making is off of their merchandising. Okay, that's where a lot of artists make the majority of their money. It's not off the touring and it's not off the album sales, because you have to recoup that money. They're making a lot of their money off of their merchandising sales, and that's where it differs.
The interesting thing is, I still think that speaks true today, especially with you know, these streaming services and stuff, which literally you make no money on. You make no money on it. So you make money on your merch, your people actually buying a CD or downloading, going to, you know, downloading the music. But the streaming services, as much as they're really great because you have unlimited access to unlimited amounts of people, there's still gatekeeping that happens.
Absolutely.
In all of that. So people want you to pay for you to get more streams. And
so go ahead.
Yes.
So 10 years ago, the gatekeepers were the labels, and everybody tried to buy to get on radio and be part of a label. And now it's totally open, but now the gatekeepers are the Spotify's and the iHearts
and the YouTubes. That absolutely. So, you know, when Leanne and I wrote a lot of songs years and years ago, and we decided last year, you know what, let's try this again, right? We started digging into our old catalog. We started writing new music, and we were fortunate enough to find a great local guy who owns a recording studio called Court Street over in Canfield. We definitely want to plug Mike Estock. Right, and him. But we started recording these songs, and it had been years since I had, and Joe, we had this conversation. You know, my first thought as a business owner is, okay, how do we monetize this, right? Because we're putting a lot of money into recording our product, just like any business spends a ton of money, you know, researching. Researching for us is our writing. You know, developing is then taking the song and developing it into the final product, and then producing it, your product, which is going into the recording studio and recording it, and then sending it off to get mastered. So it's not a long process, but it's a very expensive process. And my question to Leanne was, okay, how do we monetize this and make some of our money back? And she's like, we don't.
I go,
pour cold water on Robert.
I'm like, really? Like, dude. Trust me. Have you looked at the Spotify numbers? Like, so, yeah. let me tell you about this now.
Yeah. So let's dig into that a little bit. So for those musicians out there who are putting their music out through like CD Baby or DistroKid, and by the way, those are the two big ones that a lot of people join to get their music out to all the streaming platforms. When you sign up, they will get it everywhere: iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube. I mean, you will be on all the platforms, but one spin of your song on Spotify, you make
0.0086% of a penny.
Woo!
And then you split it with whoever else you wrote it with.
Right. Now, if you wrote it yourself, you get all of that.
Yeah. So don't have six people in your band, no matter what.
So, for instance, Jason Mraz just posted that he had 1 billion streams on Spotify.
Okay.
Guess how much money he made.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Built for a billion.
A billion streams. He made $6 million.
Wow.
For a billion streams.
Billion streams.
Right.
Do you know what a minuscule, I know $6 million is a lot of money. I'm not saying it isn't. But when you look at the billion compared to what his take, he created all of it. He paid for all of the recording. He did all of that. And that's the snippet of what this guy is walking out with.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and we're not trying to be discouraging here.
No. You better make music because you love it.
So here's the other side of the paradox. And if you're just joining us, we have Leanne and Rama are on. They are a musical group. You guys have done national stuff. You guys have done local stuff. They're all over the place. So make sure if you guys like good music, search them down on all of those platforms. Support these guys. They are local heroes, local artists. Second part of the paradox is that, you know, we'll have an artist, and I don't really care if it's a, you know, art like a painter or someone who does music. This is a conversation I've had more than once. I want to get your take on it, okay?
Okay.
So I go out in the field. I find out that there's a demand for a certain something. So I go up to an artist and say, look, these corporate people are paying X amount of dollars for this. Let's do that. Like, oh, I can't do what's in demand. I got to stay true to the art. And so pitting against the creative expression and the politics of not selling out your craft versus what people are willing to pay for, I'm hitting that a lot.
Right. Okay. So I'll tell you what. I will give you my take, and then Leanne can give you
okay,
my take.
Okay, good.
Okay. So from a business perspective, okay, I truly believe that there is one artist – there's more than one artist, but there's one artist out there that did it right, okay? And hopefully you're listening, John Mayer.
he's releasing his sob rock next week.
Right. You know, and I'm not here to promote John Mayer, but from a business perspective in the music industry, I think he did it correctly. And what he did was this, and he's done interviews on this. He came out knowing his what was popular and what he thought he could sell. And he created music around that he also enjoyed. That's hard, right? But once he was a staple in the music industry, he said, you know what? Now I'm going to do what I want to do. And he created a blues trio, and he put out a blues album. And that was his love, and that was his passion. So he did things in the beginning that he liked, but he also knew that would get him into the industry. And then once he had a foothold, now he's doing whatever he wants because he can, right? So that's a very fine line, especially, you know, Leanne and I – we get together every week. We write songs every week. We talk about our business. And that's another thing that I don't think musicians do enough is, you know, they write their music, but they don't have a plan. And you really need a plan if you want to make it famous or if you want to write songs for TV or whatever musical inspirations you have. You know, you have to have a plan. You just can't write the music and then hope that somebody finds you. And trust me, we know a lot of those people. Very, very, very talented people, more talented than us, that have never done anything in their career because they just never put a plan together. So,
or they don't want to put it's a lot of work. I work every day. Every day right. I write. Every day, you know, I create. Every day there's phone calls being made. You've got to push this. Just like you're getting up and going to your job, you have to push it the exact same way.
Marketing being done, text being sent, social media being done. I mean,
I'm so sick of staring at a cell phone and asking, do you know, what's your Insta follow? Like, it's insane, but it is. Right. It's not important.
And I know not everyone has, especially creative logic, they don't have both sides of the brain to do that. You guys are blessed with that where you can do that. Now, if someone's an artist but doesn't have the method to think they need a team to write for them or a team to do the business, do they have like management companies for smaller artists that you can offload that to?
So they do.
Yes, they
absolutely
do. And it's expensive. I mean,
yeah. Not only is it expensive, but I mean, think of the competition, right? I mean, literally, I believe there's close to 1 million new songs being uploaded to a day. That's a lot of competition.
The good thing, though, seriously, about CD Baby, and I know DistroKid does the same thing. They have some platforms that are built into, if you use them, if you sign up as a member with them, that especially the younger kids, I think, tend to use this a little bit more than we do, only because they're so much quicker with their Instas and their TikToks and that kind of stuff. But they offer you free things that you can, on a grassroots level, come in. You know, I've used some of this for placements in, you know, they have Submit Hub and these kind of things for playlist submissions. But it takes time. It's every day.
All right, we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back and continue talking with Leanne and Rama here. You're listening to the Bottom Line Business Show here on 570 WKBN. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show. I am Joe Dania, your host. We talk about things that are happening in business with entrepreneurs. Big premise is to talk a lot of you idle people off of the sideline. I know there's a ton of genius out there in this valley, and I want to give some inspiration to get some of you participating, start doing, start planning, start dreaming, and see if we could put some of that genius into the marketplace. We absolutely need you out there. And so any of the, you know, any of the mechanics behind doing this are pretty intuitive. And if you have a friendly place to kind of air your grievances and to learn, this is it. So welcome, everybody. And in the studio today, we're talking with Leanne and Rama, musicians. So we're taking the artistic approach on talking through some of the trials that musicians face. And then as Rama was just suggesting, when you're planning, you're writing you have a business plan. You're looking forward and where you want these things to be. So it's not all about putting out fires. It's about putting dreams together that are just huge and keep you motivated day in and day out. So Rama, go ahead.
Right. So just to circle back on your question before the break, you know, where does the art begin and where does the business begin? Right. And just to kind of put a final stamp on that. So when we sit down to write, we know what we love, right? We know that what we love is not always the most popular thing. So what we try to do is we try to write things that we love that are also viable to the industry today. Perfect example, the last song that we just recorded is an 80s pop song. Now, any of you that know us out there, we're not 80s pop people. I love 80s pop. I do. I've never really played it. But we decided, you know what? Let's try this. As artists and musicians, let's extend ourselves a little bit and see what we can do. And we love the song.
And yeah. I'm telling you, it made its way into my playlist, by the way. I have to let you know.
Really?
It
did really?
So in the mornings on the way, like,
oh, really?
it got populated in there. And it's every morning on the way to work, I've been hearing that song.
By the way, that's not released yet, but thank you, Joe.
It's not even been mastered yet.
It hasn't been mastered yet. So, yeah, exactly.
All right, preview to Joe.
Exactly.
But it still has, I think the trick to being viable and being an artist is there has to be you have to keep the truth of who you are in it. People can smell it. They'll pull it out, mm-hmm. and they'll destroy it. So even though the next song that's going to be released has definitely pop production in it, and we did that purposely to see what things would sound like. We didn't alter our approach to the performance of the song.
That's
the
right.
Vocals are still live. There's not an auto tune on it.
There's still the guitars. Rock guitars
yeah, there's still rock guitars.
Right.
Especially, I think, if you want to create something that's new. If you want to regurgitate your own, like, whatever is out there, that's not great. That's not making anything new and great.
And right? Basically, what you also want to remember as a musician is there really are no rules, right? That's why it's called music theory. It's not music fact. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure that not only are you doing stuff that you love, but I mean, go out on a limb, try something new, you know, put a kazoo in there, you know,
right.
I do have a xylophone solo. I'm just saying, so you know,
song,
who knew,
that,
right?
Actually on the last single we put out, there's a kid's xylophone in there. Right. Because we saw it and we're like, that would sound great. So there are no rules. Just do what you love and try to make it viable.
So in the pursuit most artists take, do most of them you see have like, their art is a side gig and they have like their primary thing and they use that to fund it? Or do you see people just say, hey, going to California, going to New York, and I'm just going to go do my thing?
You know, I would say back in the day, that was probably more of a true statement is I'm going to California, I'm going to Nashville, I'm going to this, I'm yep. going to that. I think especially from the pandemic on, you don't need to be anywhere, but in a place where you're creating good music in your own studio or in a studio that's local to you, because everything we do, if we need the keyboard player that we use for our recordings and stuff that I've used for years on my own personal stuff, is a guy named Lee Turner that's in Nashville. And we're friends with him, and we get on Skype or Zoom, and we talk, and then he flies the tracks in.
Right.
So you don't have to be anywhere where you have to upload your whole life and go there.
I mean, think about this, right? Billie Eilish, who is a multi-Grammy winner, her first album was recorded in her bedroom.
Now, her brother Finn was a genius.
Now, absolutely. Right. Her brother, who wrote all the music and recorded all the music, in their bedroom, she sang all the tracks in their bedroom. And the only thing that they did was they just had those tracks mastered somewhere else. So you're talking 7-8 Grammys literally created in a bedroom.
Now, is that good for the industry when you have cost of entry so low that anybody can compete with people who invest thousands or tens of thousands of equipment?
It's a double-edged sword. Yes, of course it's good because it gives highly creative people with no money an outlet.
Yes.
But in the same thing, you don't get to work with great engineers and producers that might pull something out of you that you didn't even know you have because you're stuck in a bedroom. So I think a mix of the two of them is the best way to grow as an artist.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take another break. We're going to have some more with Leanne and Rama here on the Bottom Line Business Show. We'll be right back after these messages on 570 WKBN. That was a little bit from Leanne and Rama here, and that's from that's Secrets. And what album is that from?
It's just a single.
Just a single. Okay.
Yeah, everybody, right. You release singles now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Do that.
You know, so obviously, you know, back in the day, I don't know how old you know you are out there listening, but back in the day, there used to be these things called albums that were made out of vinyl, and people used to get them, and you could look at the insides, and you could read about it, and you could see pictures, and you had anywhere from 10 to 15 songs on that. Then that moved to 8 tracks.
No, 8 tracks were first.
Before albums?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
they were at the same time.
Eight tracks, cassettes, and then CDs. Nowadays,
CDs killed it.
Yeah, CDs killed it. But nowadays, people do not, unless you're a large label artist, you just do not release albums or CDs anymore. Leanne did not too long ago.
Yeah, and actually this year, I just read the specs on them from Billboard. Vinyl has outsold CDs.
Coming back.
For the first time. Vinyls are coming back. You literally, there's a 6 to 8 month wait on getting a vinyl pressed. A little shorter if you want just plain black vinyl, but if you want one of the fancy dancy, you know.
And now, as you know, from a business perspective, though, that is 3 to 4 times more expensive to do than a CD.
Oh,
if not more.
More than I know I spent because you have to understand, when you're doing vinyl, when you're doing CD, or when you're doing digital, where you start getting into money jumps are now mastering. For all of those are all different mastering types. So you've got a master for CD, you've got a master for digital release, and you've got a master for vinyl. Then with vinyl, then you've got acetate, like all of these other huge production expenses that you don't have with just doing a CD, which I use Discmakers. I've used them for every CD I've ever done. They're inexpensive, they're high quality, and you can get, you know, so I would definitely, if you're looking for someplace, you can go other places, but I found the quality, especially I've done even like 1,000 CD run, it's all very high quality.
Right.
The vinyl, on the other hand, the vinyl was really expensive. Yeah. I think I have probably $5,000 invested into 300 vinyl. The time all of the mastering, all of this extra stuff that you have to bring into it, plus the pressing of it.
Wow.
But it was one of the most significant moments of my entire life to hold my vinyl record.
Love it.
It was worth every penny. So I highly recommend it. I don't care.
So to come back around, though, what artists usually do nowadays is they release singles, right? Like Leanne and I are releasing a single every six mm-hmm. weeks. And then we were just discussing, again, during one of our business meetings, that when we get 10 songs out there, then we actually will release more of what's an album, right? Where everything is together. We've talked about a way that we would like to sell it because we don't have CDs now. I don't know if we want to tell them the way we want to do it. But
there's a couple of different ways you can do it. They literally now you can buy cards with digital downloads.
And it'll download the whole
They're
album.
Like a business card.
Okay.
Yeah.
The catch with that is it's only digital downloaded from a computer. You cannot do them from your phone.
Okay.
Right.
At least the ones that I have. You can do CDs. You can do... We've looked at people doing thumb drives.
Right. We thought about doing thumb drives.
But they're more expensive than CDs.
They are. They are, yeah. But they're more accessible nowadays, too, because... Not everybody has a CD player. So, again, that's a business decision that we have to make once we get to that point. You know what I mean? So, again, a lot of thought goes around promoting, marketing, and selling the product.
Well, let's go to marketing because that is the piece that eludes most people. And for musicians, it's no different. The end product is you want people to pay for an exchange for what they love listening to. And I'm imagining social media has been a blessing. You guys do a phenomenal job of interacting with the public. So, and I think that, like, you know, artists used to use their stage performances to sell CDs. And I think social is that stage performance now.
Absolutely. So and trust me, I'll let Leanne discuss the social part because she does a lot more than I do. But we want to thank you.
Yeah.
Because this is a perfect example of the way that you market yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
And Fast Freddy. I mean, we would have never
met.
You know, we
exactly.
were invited down to do that.
But from a marketing perspective, I would say 90% of it now is social media. You know, the other 10% is when you're out there and you're playing live shows and you're on the microphone and you're talking to those people, hoping that they will then listen to your songs or buy your CD or your T-shirt.
They have their phone in their hand. They could just download
exactly.
you, right? It's immediate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tom Petty was doing some really cool stuff. Years ago, and I thought he was kind of genius and way ahead of the curve because you could go to his concert and then there was, if you would sign up on their email list or whatever right there, then you would get a digital download of the new single for free or the new, and it was a great way to kind of get a database of your listeners because the ground level marketing stuff is really hard and it's arduous and there's not that much bang for the buck, to be very honest.
Now, is there a good way to promote all of your stuff on all of those platforms directly, like instead of you having to do like live feeds or streams, is there a way to like pay promotional to any of these outlets to push you over someone else?
You know, yeah, you can, but some of it's a little shady. There's a lot of people that are just taking money and not really, they're called bot calls.
Right.
Or bot streaming, like robot. And the problem is, if, like, I know DistroKid just took a lot of artists down because so many of the of those spins were bots, you know,
fake spins. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So there's a lot. It's a really and it's faster than you can keep up with.
Right. It's the same as payola used to be back in the day. And yeah, payola, right. For those of you that don't know, was when artist management would go directly to a radio station and pay them to play their songs more.
you know. Pay them.
Pay right. them. Right. Exactly. But I will tell
wink,
you.
Wink,
I will also tell you that, you know, another fantastic avenue to not only market yourself but get better plays is to get on playlists, right? And that is one thing that, you know, Leanne has been working on. If you can get on a playlist that has 50,000 people on it, now you're talking. You know what I mean? Because
we're talking about millions of people. That segment of that one of a couple thousand is huge plays.
Absolutely.
And it has to be, but it has to be the right playlist. Because right. I've been on a couple playlists. Right. We've managed to get some stuff. And there's been, you know, 2 million followers or whatever, which was, you know, that's a lot of followers for one playlist.
Right.
But what you want on it are the playlists that are being pushed by the industry.
Yep.
Spotify, exactly. You know, the Spotify playlist that a lot of people have their own playlists that people follow all the time. But you could be one in 100 people that they put on that list. Well, you know, you once again get lost in the wash. Right. So it's about getting the eye of the proper playlist where there's curators within the music industry that are watching those playlists.
There are a few other. You have Bandcamp and Patreon, which are other platforms online that artists are using to better monetize their music. But again, it's all about the followers, right?
Right.
If you have 45 followers, you know,
Patreon
thank you.
Is not going to be, you know.
Thank you for those 45. But you really, I mean, you need into the tens of thousands.
Yeah, it's
of
a
followers.
Lot of work to then produce stuff for 45 people. Absolutely. It's definitely.
I find the difficult part is you get caught in the minutiae of working so much on all of this other stuff. Then all of a sudden, where have you put the time into the creating of the art?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you guys are performing a show here at the end of the month with AC Jones and also with Campana, Candace mm-hmm. Campana.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how does that cooperative fit into your marketing plan? Do you get a lot of artists that help you promote and put out brand that way?
No.
Yeah, I was going to try to be a little bit, you know. No, it's
I love Leanne.
Yeah,
she's direct.
But you know what? AC and I have been friends. I've known AC a very long time. Her family and I are friends. She was so kind and has always been. And I remember when she was writing her first stuff and I met with her and her mom and we listened to her songs. And I'm so excited that things have gone well for her. And she has been very, very gracious. Her and I have done a couple of different, like, just songwriter shows together. And so, you know, to be just that blunt, no, I was just being kind of a smart aleck. But it's hard. Everybody's, you know, working. We try very hard.
We try very hard to reach out to other artists to do things with. You know what I mean? Shows. And one thing that I do have to mention is, you know, every year we do this big, huge animal charity event. It's called Wolfstock. And this year is Wolfstock 4. It's August 14th, and you can get tickets online. Just look up Wolfstock on Facebook.
Steel Valley Wolfstock.
Steel Valley Wolfstock. But, you know, we play it every year, and I'm in charge of handling all the music for it. And every year we try to reach out to a new local band to get them some exposure and play these shows. Now, this year we're doing it with the Clarks from Pittsburgh because they're good friends of ours as well.
They don't need any help.
They need zero help, right. But you know, it's events like that that I think we need more of in this valley to help these artists that are coming out.
Yeah, to be very fair, there haven't been a lot of events that have been like a community kind of thing, especially since the pandemic.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to working with AC and Candace. This is going to be a really fun night.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
Like I said, I was just over the moon that her people had reached out to us and asked, you know, if we wanted to be a part of it. But I think we need to do that in the area. There should be some things happening where collectively you get the area musicians all involved. I think a lot of people don't ask or don't bring anybody else on because, first of all, they don't know how to do it.
Right.
You know?
And I think the time is prime. People are ready to get out of their house and go see just any type of entertainment anymore. And I think before COVID, we're actually seeing a downtrend in that. We were seeing audiences wane, and we were seeing...
It was really getting bad.
It was getting bad. So if one thing did come out of COVID, I think it's people are ready to be entertained again. Live entertainment.
Yeah. Aside from other artists with that promotion, what about venues? Do they do a good bit of searching out and promoting individual, like when they buy in, if you got a good, you know, reputation in the industry, do they come out and seek you out, or is it competitive the other way where bands are just trying to get booked everywhere and stepping on one another?
I do think, you know, Leanne and I do get a lot of calls. But you know, we've been in this area for quite a while doing this, and I'm very appreciative of that, that, you know, some of the local venues will seek us out to play some shows for them. Mm-hmm. But I think that then that's where it's our job to kind of be mentors, you know, to some of these other young acts that we believe in to get them into these venues. You know, mentorship is a huge thing in business.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, let me ask this question. So after the pandemic, you know, the talk was that there were going to be a ton of outdoor events. Are you guys seeing that play out the way that everybody thought?
So, we were invited to play a couple outdoor events, and this year, unfortunately, a couple of those didn't happen because COVID is still, you know, and funding and that kind of stuff. I think that you're going to see an uptick in that coming. I don't know, Liam. What do you think about that?
You know, I think by next year you're going to see a full swing kind of thing. I think everybody, what people don't realize is when you start booking, especially national, semi-national acts, they're booked 6, 7, 8 months in advance for the following year. Like, you're booked for the following year.
Right.
So by the time things opened up in June, you know, is that when things finally, you know, people got the okay? A lot of people we're already doing other things, or it's so expensive. The reason sometimes acts come through and you can get them in some of these smaller venues is because they need a one-off, which means they're going from Chicago to Buffalo or somewhere, and they're coming through here. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. They've got all this, you know, financially, they've got all this equipment moving that way anyways. Well, why not
dump off of 80 and there we are.
Yeah.
Right.
And do a show. Well, it's not because all of these things the lines haven't been set up like this because nobody knew when we were going to be able to play again.
Right.
To haul somebody from California now to Youngstown, your cost has just gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the promoters and stuff just can't absorb it.
Right.
And, you know, there were shows that we were booked in 2020. And the promoters have come back to us and said, listen, when this show happens, you're still on the bill.
Right.
Okay. So we got about this back, you know, back pressure of.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what's happening with the Elton John show. I mean, just to bring him up, you know, tickets, everybody has their tickets from the last year.
Okay.
Or a good example. Oh, yep.
No, go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Another good example is, you know, Leanne has been very fortunate to play Jazz Fest in New Orleans for the past. Well, 3 years. It didn't happen last year. But that's another show, right? They had all these people booked for 2020 and then nothing. So now a lot of those acts are coming back, you know, saying it's a way to keep the music moving forward but still maintaining your gigs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is really, really important when you're a live musician. So and we're going to be going down in October to Jazz Fest.
All right. When Dave gets over there, Dave, can you bring up the laptop? Dave, can you bring up the laptop again? All right. So this is Leon and Rama. This is another song by them, and then we're going to have one little segment with them at the very end. So this is Kiss Me.
Just spin around. kiss me.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show, a fun show today. We're connecting with musicians Leanne and Rama, talking about the business end of their pursuits in the music industry. So thank you for sharing everything with us. Why don't you go ahead and tell our audience, if they enjoy music and they want to touch base with you guys, how to get a hold of you for shows, how to get to your music.
Well, we have a couple of social media things that you can follow us on. Rama and I both have, I have a Liam Binder Music Facebook, and Rama has a Rama.
And Rama is R-A-J-M-A. Just pretend the J is silent.
All right. I've heard people pronounce it.
It's
you and Rajma.
Exactly.
It's the bane of our Alexa. Alexa.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't understand.
She doesn't understand.
No.
It's okay.
So we have some, we're trying to put out music videos with all of our songs. So if you go to Liam Binder on YouTube, mm-hmm. my YouTube channel, please, 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 please follow and like these channels because it moves us up in the algorithm of everything.
And once we get so many people, we can actually go live on YouTube,
so,
which we do. We go live frequently on Wednesdays. We call it WTF Wednesdays.
Yes.
John Mayer stole our idea.
He
just
did.
Just saying, John, you did. You know
we're coming
you did.
After you. And but you can see us on Facebook, and we're thinking about moving that to Instagram because you also have an Instagram.
Yep, I have an Instagram. You go to Liam Binder Music. Just Google it; it'll come up on Insta. And I hate to tell you this, but my TikTok is blowing up.
Oh no!
Oh, she's doing TikTok.
Oh,
what are you doing?
Oh yeah,
Joe. She does all of them.
I want to know. I haven't seen you on there. What are you doing over there? It's got to be crazy, right?
No, I give voice lessons.
Okay.
Yeah. On TikTok and. And then we do like some behind the scenes things and all of that kind of stuff. But the cool thing about TikTok in particular is I can talk and do things and I can actually pull up our originals and they will let you play up to 30 seconds of songs because then they don't get into BMI and ASCAP fees and those kind of issues. So it's a great way to, you know, if something goes viral, you could hit 20, 30, 40,000 people overnight with your music playing in the background. So there's all these little tricks that I'm learning by doing all of this crazy stuff.
We also do have a website. It's called LadyMoonMusic.com where you can read about some of the artists that we've worked with before.
Yeah, and I'm feeling bad not to seem trite, but people have actually really helped us out, but they've just... You know, if it wasn't for Paul Sanchez down in New Orleans and Glenn David, I would have never been at Jazz Fest. They heard me singing. They opened up the doors in New Orleans for me. So, you know, I just felt kind of bad as being kind of a smart aleck about it.
Again, but, Lee Turner in Nashville.
Yeah, Lee Turner, Mike Estick.
Dan Millis in New York City. He's the one who masters all of our stuff. I mean... You can't do this all
alone,
by yourself.
Right.
We try.
And you.
Absolutely.
And Fast Freddy and Cornell and Casey Malone. We have a really bunch
of... We look
of,
out for each other, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so...
please go to any streaming service or on YouTube, look up Liam Binder. Make sure that you follow, you like, hit the subscribe button.
Yeah, go to our Spotify. I have an artist channel. Rama does too, but go follow the artist channel on Spotify and stream.
My wife puts on the newest single, and she'll just stream it all day long.
Nice.
Because she likes it, I hope.
So you guys got really good chemistry when you're doing those Wednesday deals. Now, do you find that you get better results on that when it's like just to get to know you guys personally or when you start playing music? Which do you think is better?
Depends on how funny I am.
Oh, my God.
You guys are slapping.
She's funny.
Because I'm funny.
Now, I'll tell you what. It really is a toss-up, Joe, because some people love the banter, and some people are just like, listen, just play music. We just came here to hear a song, okay? You know, we do cover songs. We'll do some originals. You know, Leanne and I, we play a lot in the Valley. So if you see us out, you know, come have dinner with us.
Yeah, come say hi.
You know,
tonight we'll be at the post office in Mineral Ridge.
Yep, we're there tonight from 7:30 to 10:30. Again, Wolfstock, we have coming up in August. We have the show with AC Jones.
Yeah, Tuesday the 20th, we're doing a thing. I'm bringing some of my girls from Songmill Studio. Yep. We're going to be at Austintown Park on the 20th.
We do Pine Lake Winery a lot. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to come out and say hi and, you know, listen to our music because – listen, without people listening to our stuff, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this at all.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it. I hope that we've helped some of you, maybe aspiring, you know, artists, musicians, theater, everyone that is using their talents and trying to figure out a way to monetize it. And these guys have come up with, there's got to be at least 30 or 40 different things that not only are they doing, but they have tried. And that's really the goal here, is to just experiment through it. Don't overinvest in some of the outlets, and you'll discover sort of like places where you fit in that you can make a little bit of money. And I don't really care if you use this as a side hustle and it grows into something that's a full-time gig, or if you, you know, right out of the gate, you just say, I'm going gangbuster and throw everything into it. I think, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of genius, and I've heard singers that just have beautiful voices and I've never heard them play anywhere. It's a shame. It really is.
We have friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have friends that do that.
So, you know, I think the another thing, if I could tell any of the musicians, diversify, do a couple of different things. You know, like we both at one time, I teach, Rama used to teach.
Right.
We both write. We're looking at sync licenses of films. We play live. You have to diversify. Use as many different aspects of yourself as you can.
Utilize
artistically
all of your talents.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, again, thank you guys. Appreciate
thank
it.
You
did a wonderful job, and good luck to you.